This episode of the Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by the TMOS Amazon Portal. Remember to click the Amazon link at tmospodcast.com before you shop. It's that easy. Thank you. Now on with the show.
I forgot the cork.
You always get your way. And always need to Chevrolet. Hey!
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at tmospodcast.com or anywhere fine podcasts are found.
Welcome to our show.
Just play the hell out of it.
It's got to be funky.
So look what I found.
This is good.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Josh Schroka,
Josh!
And Rob Speedwack.
Oh, Rob!
It's a special Jar episode. Now, here's Josh and Rob.
I always forget there's different elements in there. Oh, yeah. The layout was off, wasn't it?
Yeah, I had to fix the layout.
Yeah. I muted myself, so I'm sure you did not hear me burp during the... Oh, by the way, welcome everybody to the Jar Show, a service of the Mike O'Mara program. You didn't hear me burp because I was muted, but it reminds me of something. You know, I've lost a lot of weight. It's not a humble brag. It's just because I'm doing what I should do with my doctor. But my tough time is at night. When, you know, dinner is done and you're watching TV and it's 9:30-ish and maybe you could go to bed or maybe you could watch something else on television and you start to get hungry or you start to get bored. And I just can't have peanut butter in my house anymore. I can't. Because that last burp, I mean, I've had a full night's sleep. I brushed my teeth, had my breakfast, drank a Coke Zero. That burp still tasted like peanut butter.
Was there?
I can't take that.
If it was late night peanut butter, was a gummy involved?
Yesterday, yes, but not always. Okay. And not a huge dose. Just I think it was a six. I mean, to me, that's like nothing. But I
knew last night my wife had to run to the grocery store at some point. And I texted her and I said, get a cheesecake.
You were gummied up. Yeah, that's
and I realized... She said, and then like a few minutes later, she texted and said she missed it. She was on her way home. Does she need to go back inside and get me a cheesecake?
What a good wife. My wife would never get me a cheesecake.
I responded, no, that's got to be the gummy.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll wait.
We've got minimum good snacking food in the house right now. What I need to do is I need to reorder up on my secret dieting tool, which is sugar-free cinnamon hard candies. Now, I know this sounds like an old man thing. No, it's not as old as a root beer barrel. That's a really old man thing.
Those, I prefer the root beer barrels.
I love root beer barrels. But these cinnamon sugar-free candies, they do not cause intestinal distress, as some sugar-free candies
right.
do. And they've got a little bit of heat to them. So I think as long as you've got your digestive system working, you're not going to go and crave a jar of peanut butter or shredded cheese or whatever you can find in the fridge. So anyway, no more peanut butter.
Well, the issue we have is we want our kids to be healthy.
Sure.
So on the weeks that the kids are at the house, there's no junk food in the house.
It's
all healthy.
Right.
But that means that come Friday when the kids leave, I go to the grocery store and I'm like, what cake do I want this week?
Exactly. Come with me and you'll be in a world of true imagination. Is it hard to go through the junk food in time for the kids to come back? Is it like a race with the devil?
It is. How much of that pie or cake can I finish before I have to throw it out so the kids don't catch it?
Yes. You know, I've been there. But poor Robert, who still lives at home, he is so dying to move out. And he will soon, because now that he's got a job as a teacher, he's making more than me. So he should be able to afford a home.
You already gave him two bedrooms.
I know. He's taking over upstairs.
When do you give him the living room?
I'm not. I will not. You know what? There are the two things. He doesn't get any more real estate. And when he moves, I'm not helping with the sofa that he has up there. I'm not doing it. He has strong friends. Get friends. Yes. I also need to... Well, you see, I got to be careful. Because I still have that huge professional mixer that I bought to make fruitcakes.
Right.
That is so heavy that a two-person move of it is still tough.
Yeah, you're still going to need his buddies for that, too.
Yeah, so I need to get Aiden over here for that. Maybe I can pay them off in baked... You know what? This is a Christmas time problem.
Is this when Rob moves out and you convert his room into a bake-in room?
No, if anything, I would convert his room into like a media room, like a music room. Yeah. Like where I could listen to records and stuff.
No, that's my plan. When the kids move out, that's a media room where I can sit and watch a movie. in the dark.
But, well, I mean, it wouldn't be video for me because the rooms are only 10 foot by 10 foot square. I know, I've measured them.
No,
but
that works for me.
That would be, it would be so perfect for music. But again, to try and get a jukebox up those steps, these are problems. These are definite problems.
Yes.
And also, if you really want to get down to the nitty gritty of it, the table that the big mixer goes on needs new caster wheels. So, I mean, I am burdened with problems.
And fruitcake season is not that far off.
No,
you're gonna need that mixer.
It never is, Josh. I just know when I finish making fruitcakes that the next fruitcake season is only 50 weeks away. However, it's like the telethon.
And there's no way fruitcake season is only 2 weeks a year.
No. It's December.
It's got to be like 4 weeks. So you got about 48 weeks.
Ideally, you get your baking done Thanksgiving weekend. But Thanksgiving weekend is always tough because you've got the big dinner to do and then all that. Then
right.
Carrie, my wife, Mrs. Spiewak, she would like to have the Christmas tree up on Thanksgiving weekend. Not before, but she wants it up to look at.
Nope.
And that's perfectly fine.
Same conversation here.
Okay. But that doesn't leave me much time to get the fruit caking done. However, even though up until this year, I've had a top-of-the-line KitchenAid 7-quart mixer. That's a pretty big one. That's
right.
A pretty big silver bowl there. I've stepped up to a 30-quart mixer.
Which means you better be making a lot of fruitcakes.
Well, no. It means that I should be able to do one-third of the batches and get the same yield because I can double and redouble.
But can your oven fit them?
Well, you see, you bake them in batches, but that's easy. You just dish them and bake them.
Okay.
The hard part is the mixing. And understand, when you make and people, if you're just joining us, thank you, Jarheads. We do appreciate it, Josh and Robheads. Fruitcake is something that everyone hates, pretty much, and I've mastered it. I make an excellent fruitcake, have for years, and we actually sold them on the show for a while. They're that good. But the construction of a fruitcake is no different than watching someone make cement or mortar at a construction site. Because you start with a liquid base,
right.
Then you put in rocks, which is the nuts, and then your filler, which is the fruit. When you're done, you've got something that you can either have a delicious holiday meal with or repair your wall. Mike could have fixed his wall with my fruitcake batter.
So it's pretty thick before you even
thick.
Bake it.
It's disgusting. Old joke. It is. And so when you dose it, that's easy. They all weigh the same, 400 grams. It's so scientific. 400 grams, and then you use a tare weight so you don't count the pan. But so 400 grams, but the mixing leading up to it is hard, and it's going to be great having a mixer big enough that can actually combine the fruit and the batter and the nuts at the same time, because that's the stirring part that kills you. That you got to stir by hand. And also, it actually benefits the fact that the mixer, I believe it is called a dasher, the thing that's in there, the beater thing, will crush up the nuts, which is great. And you know how painful that can be.
So that means you should be able to knock out fruitcakes in one weekend.
Oh, in a day.
In a day.
Absolutely, in a day. We've done it in a day before, but it's a very long day. And just so you know, and this is a good... this is Hicks, Nicks, Sticks, Picks adjacent. When my mom and I bake fruitcakes, the first thing we do is for the background, we put on the movie Holiday Inn because we have it memorized. And then we put on the movie Psycho.
Because that's a Christmas tradition.
Well, for us, it is. I mean, I often wonder why it is I turned out exactly like I did. And I think it's things like that.
I think so. And the fact that your mom is in on that Psycho tradition.
Oh, she loves it. When I told her about the trip to the passport office yesterday and the lady yelling at me for my posture, she just says, "I'm sorry. You get scoliosis from me." I said, "Yeah, but other than that, you're a pretty good mom." She says, "Yeah, I suppose, but the scoliosis will always haunt me." I have to apologize.
Okay.
I did. You'd think I'd be better than this because, you know, I love the post office. Of all my of all the federal buildings, post office is my favorite. And we'd mailed all our auction stuff out over a week ago.
Oh, did you not put enough postage on something?
Yeah, I have to apologize to James Hoffman of Roseville, California. It says returned for additional postage. And I
thought you had a scale. What happened?
I did. And you know what? I don't know if they are as accurate in measuring things as I am, because I believe for this rate, I was allowed 13 inches by 13 inches by 1 inch, and I could pay $295 to have it shipped. Well, I get it back, and they want $660. So I have to go to the post office today anyhow. So James Hoffman of Roseville, California, you will get your pen. And look how careful I was about it. I even wrote on it, do not bend. This thing is the autographed picture of Mike. And it came back in. I was very pleased with my packaging. I will say that, because it came back in one piece. So that's good.
Good.
My
apologies. That means it will arrive to him in one piece.
I make no promises.
And
maybe,
if I remember correctly, the seatbelt extender is in there as well.
Separate shipping, because I didn't realize they were coupled. I would have loved to have put them together. As a matter of fact, there was some confusion at the time, because I said, I thought I already printed that name out. But it turned out, So he'll have to, you know, make do with the seatbelt extender until the picture arrives. If I seem keyed up today, do I? Shot out of a cannon a little bit?
No, but also, like, people have got to understand, we had a 20-minute pre-show, which is basically the same show here, where we're just trying to catch up and get going.
Exactly. So, I had a night last night. I will say this. My spidey senses are tingling. Now, a lot of things about me I wish I could correct, one of which is I have a pretty decent case of OCD. And you've been to my house. You've seen all of my alphabetized things. You've seen all of my organized things.
You have OCD, definitely. Especially, it's clear because the amount of stuff you have, but it's well organized.
I come by it honestly, I feel, because when I worked with the Don and Mike show many, many years ago, almost all the sound elements were on cartridges, meaning that every element was one tape. It wasn't like a CD that had a million things on it. And there were hundreds, I'd say a couple thousand cartridges.
Right.
And I had to know where they were.
Did you have one of those big, like, wall-mounted stands to hold them all?
We had the entire back wall of the studio at WJFK. Yeah. We had a what's called a kick rack, which is built into the side of there. We had that full. We had a rotating rolling rack.
Right.
We had,
and you had to know where all that one card is.
All of them. And I got pretty good at it, and it got easier as I began to use my system of being OCD-ish.
If you ever had a day off, would you mix up the carts to screw up the guy filling in?
Josh, here's something you should know. There was no one to fill in.
Okay. All right.
And there was very seldom a day off. There were so many. That show was so element heavy to make it sound the way it should sound. You almost needed a live board op, and it needed to be someone who knew the show. So I did.
Well, that show used to start with like 10 minutes of elements.
Yeah, you're right.
And you didn't have Audition to put it together ahead of time.
No. We played, that was called The Cavalcade, and it was done live every day. As a matter of fact, my first hours that I billed to CBS Radio, back then was Infinity, was I got to bill an hour a day, because I did The Cavalcade every day.
Okay.
So I would set it up and get it to like 48, and then Don and Mike would come in, they'd do a brief segment, and then the show would go national at 3. So yeah, I had to be sort of a muddled, organized mind to make it work. Anyhow, all that said, to say this, I'm emptying the dishwasher. And do you happen to have Cutco brand knives? Are you familiar with them?
Those are the door-to-door salesmen.
Yes.
You can cut a penny with a pair of scissors.
Yes, essentially that. And the lifetime guarantee for the life of them.
Yes.
And I've used it. Like, I had a knife fall in the dishwasher and the heating element, like, totally curled. It looked like a snake. Remember the things on 4th of July that when you light them?
Right, so it melted the handle.
Yeah, and I just, they sent me, rock the mic like a vandal. And they send it back to me, brand new knife. That doesn't change the fact that they're very expensive. Now, we bought them because one of Robert's good friends was taking a gap year and was selling Cutco.
That's how it goes.
And
gets suckered into it.
And so we bought the set with the big knife block and everything. And you know I love sharp things, so it was fun. We even stepped up and bought like an offset spatula. But the knife block, when it's full, is a beautiful thing, because I know which knife is which. And I emptied the dishwasher, and I looked around. I said, there's no other dishes. A steak knife is missing. just gone. Now, there are 12 slots on the knife block, and I had 11 steak knives.
These knife blocks are expensive.
No crap. I started
close
searching.
The door because it's door to door.
These are expensive knives. And I went
$1,800.
Yes. Tell me about it. So when I have this missing, I went around and first I said to, you know, because school has started and knives and forks and things, they disappear to school because you bring them for lunch and then you leave them there, right? So I said, have either of you brought one of these little steak knives? And I said, Robert, your knees are younger than me. Look under the sofa. I got a flashlight out. I took the drawers out of the dishwasher to make sure it wasn't there.
That's a $400 knife. Someone better find it.
Well, you're not far off. I actually took the plastic off the incinerator and looked down into the garbage disposal. No evidence of the knife there. This knife, this is gross. I put on 2 black latex gloves and went through 2 bags of trash. And I'll even go like garbage. It was like there was watermelon rinds in there. It was nasty. No knife to be found. So I went, yes. And you know what? I said to Carrie, I said, what is wrong with me that last night, the last thing I had on my mind when I went to bed, and this morning, the first thing I had on my mind
is that hole.
Is that empty knife slot in the knife block. And it's not like we need it. We have 11 knives. And here's the other thing. We don't have friends. It's not like we're having 10 people over for a steak dinner and we need all 12 knives.
But you can't even put a different knife in there because then it'll look out of place.
It will absolutely look out of place. So I got one of the knives out of the 11 identical ones, and I got the serial number. It is a Cutco 1759. And I put it into eBay. I thought one steak knife, what, like maybe $6-$7? Maybe. They're selling from $35 to $49 for one. And I'm not even talking one of these. I mean, I'd pay $40 for a knife like this. This is my psycho knife. But
Rob, you're going to have to pay the $40 for your OCD.
Well, today I'm going to we have a sectional couch in our family room. And
careful.
So
there might be a knife down there. You don't want to stab yourself.
I'll put the black gloves back on. But I have to undo it and like look in all the slots and look through the cushions because I primarily and Carrie primarily, we eat on the sofa watching TV.
Okay.
I mean, we have a table if we have guests, but as a rule, we
do the same thing if it's just the two of us.
Yeah.
When the kids are here, we sit at the table.
So I've got to make sure, and if not, I got to dip into the PayPal and buy me a knife.
How about Robert's bedroom?
Any chance food
winds up there?
He does love to eat in the bedroom, and he always has. You probably don't know this. One time when he had just graduated to having a big boy bed. So, I mean, that's puts you in his age range. And we got him one that was a bunk bed on the top and underneath is a desk. One piece unit, and then there's like a storage. In the storage unit, we were cleaning it out, and we found open about a quarter of it left. Can of pre-made Duncan Hines frosting that he had taken from the pantry. Yeah, and then not throw it away that it's almost empty, not put it back in the pantry, store it in your bed. And I told him, I said, buddy, you're going to get ants and you're going to get mice and you're going to get rats. And someday your roommates will hate you. And to this day, there's always a bag, a Chick-fil-A bag or a Sheetz bag or something in his bedroom. Yes. Now, I don't totally blame him because, as I said, he's eager to get out of here.
Yeah,
and I mean, he doesn't want to be around his folks. So that's that. But I don't think so, because I was pretty point blank with all of them about the knife. Yesterday, I went so far as to have you ever done the eBay exercise where you make an offer?
Yes.
Yeah.
How low was your offer?
This was a blemished 1759. It had a burn stain on it. And I'm thinking, you know what? This speaks to what we talked about on the show yesterday, or it was the bonus show. Tomorrow. This speaks to what we're going to talk about on the bonus show tomorrow, is that if I got a blemished steak knife, then I could send that to Cutco, and they would send me back a brand new one.
You could do that. That is true.
Yeah. So I'm thinking that far ahead, but I'm thinking for blemished...
I think that was on yesterday's show.
I think it was... Yeah, you could be right. Who knows?
Where with my reseller stuff.
It depends on what order you listen. So I say it's da 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 or make an offer, and it's like $48 for a blemished one, $48, and yes. I offer $22. Offer declined. Da 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 da. Offer declined.
Oh, I think that's a reasonable offer.
$20 for a steak knife plus $7 shipping. By the way, it doesn't cost $7 to ship a steak knife. That's all padded stuff.
I don't know. You have to make sure that knife's not going to stab out the side of the envelope.
It's got a round. Look at the 1759. It's got a rounded tip. Okay. You're fine. It's not a stabby knife. It's a cutty knife. So I get up to $35 and I get back. The offer has not been accepted. And I just throw my hands in the air because this is $35 for one blemished steak knife. And this guy, plus seven for shipping. And this guy says no. So that pisses me off. But anyway, under your clothes, you're bend dying. Yeah,
well, some people, if you offer less than 50%, you're going to get declined.
Yeah. But I mean, if it's listed for 40 and you start at like a $25 offer, it should at least be entertained.
Yes, I agree.
But to that, and I shouldn't care, but right now, as I sit here, in the back of my head, I see that knife block with the empty slot, and it makes me upset.
And
it shouldn't.
I totally understand why it would, though.
Yes, I guess it does.
If I was Carrie, I would just move the knives around each morning so that slot's in a different spot.
You know,
then that would mentally help you be like, oh, well, maybe someone's using that knife.
Josh, I dreamt about the knife last night. I dreamt I found the knife, and it was like the greatest. And I woke up, and it was all false. It didn't happen. Maybe, you know what? Maybe the guy will just sell me a knife handle that I can glue to the thing.
You can tell if you dreamt about the knife how much it's affecting you.
Right.
Because last Thursday on the Jars episode, you shared a dream.
Right.
And the dream was so obvious to me what the dream was about, but we weren't able to truly say what the dream was about.
Oh, that's right, because it predated the announcement of Mike's next chapter.
Because your dream, I then was censoring the AI as I'm reading it, because it's so clearly that you are dreaming about the Mike O'Mara show and Mike's retirement.
And launching the next show, yes. And I mean, even down to the specific items in the dream, it was wild. It was to a point where I almost wish you hadn't done it because it was like so accurate.
It was so accurate, and we couldn't say how accurate it was
and why it was accurate.
Right.
So to put a pin in this, I think that if I look in the sofa and I don't find the knife, I'm going to pull the trigger and buy a replacement 1759.
I know you will.
And the moment I close the deal, I'm going to find the knife. It's just going to happen.
Can I predict where the knife will be?
Yes.
Now, this will be after the knife arrives. So let's say it's 2 weeks from now.
Okay, yeah.
All right, the knife arrives. You put it in the hole.
Yes.
And then when you call Robert down to dinner, and he comes down and goes, oh, I found this on my desk. That's
my
prediction.
Before I pull the trigger, I will do an uncool dad thing, and I will go into his bedroom and just look around and make sure.
Just peruse.
I'm not looking for drugs or anything illicit. I'm not looking for a cigarette lighter that's shaped like a gun because his dad already has one.
No need to go through drawers and boxes. Just a glance, check the bedside table, check the top of the desk.
He's not tidy enough to put anything in a drawer, not even a drawer it belongs.
Right.
So, I know you have stuff you want to talk about, but before, let me get to one thing about Robert, since he came up naturally in any conversation. I am so proud of him, first of all, to a point that when I really get down and talk to him man to man, eye to eye, about how he is teaching special ed kids and he is establishing systems and building relationship with the administration. And he's got TAs, teaching assistants, that are older and more experienced working under him that are thrilled that he's there. I'm just so proud.
It was clear how proud you were when you sent me privately the nameplate outside his door.
It's so cool. Now, I've got teachers going back generations on both sides of my family. Carrie always said that I would make a great teacher, but I chose podcasting because you make less money.
Well, and you teach thousands of people.
On a daily basis.
It's very much education stuff that you actually need.
Exactly. Well, okay, good point, Josh. You make me feel better. But I am so, so proud of Robert. He also did not have the easiest go of college after his first year, as documented on this show. But he graduated with a strong grade point average, graduated into a job, left that job, and now, literally 1 year after graduation, he's starting full-time as a Loudoun County teacher for special ed kids, which is great. That said, one of the parents of one of his special ed kids sent in a note, which is common, especially at the first day of the year, and especially since he doesn't know these kids. Like, well, Carrie's a special ed teacher at another high school, and some of her kids she's taught now 2 or 3 years, so she knows them and knows their triggers and stuff.
Every kid has little quirks and and all. You want to give the teacher a little heads up.
Yeah.
Not because your kid's special, just you want your kid to, the teacher to be prepared.
And, you know, and this is, I think it's great when parents are involved like that, because I've seen through Carrie and through him, parents that really care, and also parents that see it as daycare. I prefer the ones that really, you know, give a damn. Yeah. So she sends in a note with this kid. And Robert opens it, and he can't read it because it's written in cursive.
And so it's not that it's like a different language.
No, and not that it's sloppy cursive or ill-prepared. It's just cursive. So he had to go, and it was funny him telling the story because he was a little embarrassed, but he saw the funny in it too. He had to go to his teaching assistant and say, can you read this note to me?
So he knew it was cursive, but he didn't know.
Yeah.
That is, it kind of blows my mind, because I knew that Camden and Owen don't learn cursive.
Right. And you did, right? Because you're a little younger than me. Yeah. Because the third grade was when they pressed it on us. Okay.
I just, my kids are in seventh grade, and they just learned this week that the fact that computers weren't in schools when I was in middle school, because that's one of their classes is computers. I'm like, no.
I said, that's so great.
I told them, I had a typewriting class on a typewriter. What are you talking about?
I took typing as well. So it's, things have truly changed. So
it's changed, but I didn't realize until you brought that up that I don't think my 21-year-old knows how cursive either.
I wonder when it stopped. I know that it has to be something to do with the texting and screen and computer movement, because
it's gotta be the
cursive
computer
had to be invented to write faster. Because you're not taking your pen or pencil off the paper as a rule. But now that we're typing and texting everything, it's useless. So Carrie said, oh my God, it's true. You never learned cursive. And I said, I guess it was second or third grade for me. And Carrie said it's about the same. So she hops into YouTube and finds an instructional video about cursive, probably from like 1980. So
it's got to be.
Yeah. You already know how to write, but now you're going to learn how to write cursive. And so she's playing it and making Robert guess what the letters are. Nancy, right, this is what blew my mind, because cursive, it looks similar, right?
Yeah, but some of them letters make no sense.
Especially the uppercase letters. And here's, I'm trying to watch Jeopardy or whatever on television, and I've turned it way down because I'm polite. But they're talking, and this is what I hear from Robert's side. He says, what is that? A G? A Q? Come on, bruh.
Yeah, I get it. I totally get it.
And, you know, JLP Design says it's not useless. Everyone needs a good signature. I agree to that. But what about these services you see on Facebook that will design a signature for you? Do that.
My signature is not really cursive.
It's but not? It's not.
No. Hmm. It's my signature has fallen apart. It used to be cursive.
Okay.
Until I had to sign more things, and it got shorter and shorter like a doctor.
Understood.
Where now it's just a little scribble.
Yeah, but at least you can recognize it.
I can recognize it, and you cannot repeat my scribble because it's so weird that it's not even really letters.
I bet I could. You know, I've been signing for Mike for 30 years now.
But Rob, you stumbled onto a secret parent hack.
Which is what?
Let's leave notes around the house.
In cursive?
Spouses in cursive. Because the kids won't be able to read it.
Now, I know
and we
that.
Can just put it on the fridge and the kids won't read it.
I think that he probably, gun to his head, could translate most of it. Because if think of lowercase cursive letters, they pretty much look the same. But the Q, the Z, the G is an outlier. The A is weird because it's just a big A. I don't know if it would be enough to totally throw him off. But if maybe we could do a letter, a note, all in cursive capital letters, maybe.
Right. I don't know. I think I could. Well, I'm at that point where I don't use cursive anymore.
Right.
So I can definitely read cursive. I would struggle to write some of the capital letters.
I ran in by accident going through some garbage, some of my notebooks from college, which of course I still have. Hold your comments, please. And there were classes that I really enjoyed and classes that I found boring. And I could tell on the boring classes because I opened them and the notes would start dated and it would be really nice block letters because I was taking notes in and that's how I normally write anyway. But then if I got a little bored, it would switch to cursive. And then as I got real bored, it would really just be like lines where I wasn't even writing anything down. So I think cursive is lazier and I'm okay without it. I think it's fine that it's gone.
I think cursive is lazier, but lazy cursive is almost impossible to read.
Yeah, and
because
that's
the S turns into an A.
Yeah, that's true. And I used to live at the Lazy Cursive Ranch. That was a great place. We had horses and cows and lots of letters.
But it is a good point. How do kids nowadays sign things?
Robert's signature is not, to my eyes, is. As I want you to know, I'm so proud of him. I love him to pieces, but his signature is not okay. It doesn't look very great. I'm happy with mine. I think mine's great.
Is his in? Well, I'll show you mine in a minute. But is his any resemblance of cursive?
I think that it's basically upper and lowercase printing with the letters touching. That's how he's, you know.
Okay.
But then they also ignore so many things in class. Like I remember when Robert was graduating high school 5 years ago, he needed me to talk to him about how to address and stamp an envelope for thank you notes.
True.
Because he never did any mailing.
You don't. Right. That's why when you buy like postcards and stuff now, they tell you where to put everything.
Put the message here. Yes. Put the stamp here. Yes. So yeah,
let's see if we can see that. That is my signature.
Oh, that, you know, that's like a baseball player's signature right there. That's someone who does it really fast in the dugout.
It's part of a J. It's part of a backwards S. I don't know why it's backwards, but it is.
Well, a backwards S would be a Z.
Yes.
Jazroga.
But that's how my signature progressed, and it's been that scribble for at least 30 years now.
Okay, the only thing that is really consistent in mine is the R up front.
Okay, yeah, that's a clear R.
And that's always been that way.
But it also looks like Pat.
Yeah, and then the T cross is, you know, as okay, and then the Spiewak and the Junior is just a garbled mess.
What's the T cross for?
Robert.
Oh, Robert. Okay. Yeah. I was like Rob with it. I thought that was a B with a line through.
No. And the full name is Robert W. Spiewak Jr. Oh, yeah. The lady at the passport office said, "You are Junior?" I said, "Yeah." She says, "But your father is not Senior." I said, "No, he's not." And she said, "Why is that?" And I said, "Because when he was named, he didn't have a son yet.
Right, so, he's the original.
I mean, if you wanted to differentiate, he could say he was Senior, but it wasn't part of his name. So anyway, I'm glad we got a chance to talk signatures. Do you want to see Mike's?
Sure. You want to send out a...
That's a perfect Mike O'Mara signature right there.
With the dot and the O?
Yeah, that's for Mike.
All right.
And then I can also do Don and Buzz. I just don't get a lot of call for that anymore.
No need.
I could never do my folks. Did you ever forge your folks' signature on anything?
No, I did not.
I could do my mom's initials, but not her full name.
No, my dad's was always tough.
Dad has exceptional handwriting.
He's got the you know what? His handwriting is very similar to mine, where it's, "I don't have time for this." Where it's so fast that it's not clean and neat. Like there's people that take times to write nice letters. No, my handwriting gets worse halfway through the letter as I'm like, "I don't have time for this."
I love the fact that your attitude towards handwriting is the same you have for this show. I don't have time for this.
No time for this.
No, no time for this. Could you please just finish up the show and be done with it?
Oh, I got lots of time for this show.
I know you had some stuff you wanted to talk about, so let's take a break. Today, all commercials pre-recorded, so put that on your bingo card. And it is the Mike O'Mara Show. Jarheads rejoice, Josh and Rob. And we'll be back after this on the Mike O'Mara Show.
There are a lot of great things to do in the ocean. Surfing, swimming, crabbing, skin diving. But no one can hold a candle to the TMOS 2027 cruise. Let's go sailing! This time it's a better price, a longer trip, and more notice. Join Mike, Rob, and Josh and your fellow Americans aboard the all-new Margaritaville at Sea Islander, sailing January 21, 2027. Enjoy 5 days and four nights of laughs, a live podcast recording, meet and greet, tropical weather in the dead of winter, and plenty of time to unwind. Plus, on-ship tattoos and buffets. Do them both at the same time. Departing from Tampa, you'll get two relaxing days at sea, a Saturday stop in beautiful Cozumel, and one final chill day before heading home on a Monday. Call 800-814-7100. Full details are at tmospodcast.com. Just click store. Book now and lock in your price, and we'll see you under the sun.
You know, we didn't realize when we recorded that spot, the most important part is that's Mike O'Mara's last farewell.
And it's the end.
It is the end. And it's important if you are a supporter of this show, you come on that cruise because the final podcast episode will be recorded live on that Jimmy Buffett boat.
Rob, the most exciting thing the past couple of days has been seeing names that I do not recognize jumping on board with the cruise.
So, like... people in the Democratic Party, these are names you don't know.
Right. No. Yeah, the guys that don't know me, and get ready for the same joke over and over again.
Yeah.
Right. Mentioning how I look, I'm not Oscar, and oh, I'm not Pony.
These are classic jokes that never get tired.
What happened to Oscar?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
See you on the cruise for that question.
That's, you know, it's worth buying a stateroom and a ticket to our events just to get to do the Oscar joke. But, I said this earlier in the week, if you are a radiophile like I am, and I am, that's why I do this. This is the end of an historic run of a heritage radio personality in Washington, D.C. and nationally. This will be Mike's last podcast. He's going to continue to do things online. He's not going anywhere. Yes. But this is the end of the Mike O'Mara Show, and it's going to be a very special event, and we'd love for you to come along. So please do. That's it.
Kelly mentioned to me last night that we need to schedule time for the photo line because everyone's going to want pictures with Mike.
You know, you're right.
Because it's the end. So we will figure something out with that where we'll put him in front of a backdrop.
And
in front of a big sandal.
I would like, no, the big flip-flop. Oh, yeah, I saw that in the thing.
Can I get a custom-made Mike O'Mara Show like flip-flop that we put behind?
I guess. I don't know. I don't think you want a flip-flop. You know what would really make Mike mad? Is if you made him pack his Mike O'Mara Show backdrop and made him bring it on the boat.
I thought about that. I'm not going to do that to him.
He could he ship it to the boat?
I'll bring something.
Okay.
I'll bring something. I'm not going to ask him to do that. I will spend a little money and save him.
I will pack my green screen if that helps. I've got a huge green screen.
Yeah, I don't think that helps. I have that too.
Oh, okay. Maybe. Well, I mean, maybe I was thinking more just in my stateroom, like as an extra blanket.
Well, that's normal.
And if it gets too
cold. Since you don't have that way we make it look like you have a balcony.
Yeah. And if it gets too cold, I can superimpose in a quilt. And if it's not, it's just the green screen. And that's how we do it. Before we finish up signatures.
Yes.
Someone in JLP Design says Cal Ripken has a beautiful signature. Agree to that?
He does. And I read that during the cruise commercial, and I was just looking around at all the baseballs I have signed here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, we could play a game, guess the signature, but Rob wouldn't know any baseball players.
You're right.
So it wouldn't work.
We could do it in my house, too, and you wouldn't know any of the signatures.
But I noticed a lot of players put their number in the signature, mm-hmm. and I think that's to help you understand what it says.
Now, I have worked with some football players in the past, and they don't usually put their number, but if they're Hall of Fame, they will put HOF and the year of their induction.
Yeah,
so I know that they do that.
I've got some that are inscribed of like, whatever, 500 home run club or something, whatever they're.
Inscribed.
But I do. I have a Cal Ripken bat right over here on the wall.
Do they do the signatures? Do the Cal signatures all sort of match up? They all look the same?
They do.
Okay, because the only celebrity
I have a little off.
Well, yeah, that means it's real.
They're real.
The only celebrity that I have had multiple autographs of is Jerry Lewis. And because we auctioned off one of the books I had. But his signature is beautiful and also very consistent. I think the best signature belongs to Walt Disney. But did you know?
Disney's got a great signature.
Did you know that he had his animators design it for him?
Of course he did.
Because it's like a logo,
You can go on like Fiverr or Etsy or whatever, and you can have a designer design a signature for you.
So
if you want a microphone in your signature, they'll show you how to do it.
I always see one and it's like, da, 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 and then there's like a star. I'm like, who do you think I am that I want to make a five-pointed star in my signature?
Or a face. Somewhere it's a little smile.
Ringo, in the classic days, in the classic days, Ringo's star of the Beatles, British rock band, he had a star in his signature.
He should have a star.
Because his name is Star.
Yeah.
That's right. If we knew what a stroke is, we could put it in your signature.
Would you like to see the Cal signature?
I would, as a matter of fact.
Because I can show you a good example of it.
Okay. This is Cal Ripken Jr., who is a notable baseball player in the Baltimore organization, the Orioles. He's no longer with the team, but he was known as the Iron Man. Many starting games without a break. What was his consecutive streak of games started, Josh? Iron Man Cal Ripken. Oh, you don't have your headphones in, do you?
I have it now.
Yes. Okay. Well, how many games did he play in a row, start in a row? Was it 2,000 something?
200.
200.
2,600 something.
Okay. And he only missed the last game because he was autographing bats.
Well, this is interesting because you can see here's his signature.
Right.
And he does have the Hall of Fame 2007.
Cool.
As you mentioned.
Yeah.
But what's interesting about this bat is it's his signature bat. So there's the... what they think his signature is. And you can see it's close.
Yeah.
The computer one is close to the real one.
It looks like Cal, when he signs his name, he's focused more on the Junior than the Ripken. That's an awful big J.
Oh, he's definitely focused on the Cal Junior.
Okay. Did he just write Cal Junior and not Cal Ripken Junior?
Well, he does an R and then some squigglies.
Okay. Some signatures in my house that you wouldn't care about. Jimmy Stewart, Jack Palance, Chuck Barris, Pee-wee Herman.
All right. Well, Jimmy Stewart and Pee-wee, you got my attention.
Pee-wee he does in block print, which is kind of funny.
Good. Good. Yeah. He should.
Yeah. It looks like a kid wrote it.
Have you seen the trailer for the Jimmy movie?
The Jimmy Stewart movie?
Yeah.
No.
They're making a biopic.
I'm curious.
It looks good.
Who plays him? Anyone we know?
I am blanking on it. Let me see. I just saw it like last week.
Because depending on where you read it, Jimmy Stewart had the reputation of maybe being a little bit of a hellraiser when he was young. And he would carouse with Henry Fonda. And maybe he was really close to Henry Fonda. Who knows? They had a bachelor pad.
That's who it is. It's KJ Apa.
I don't know who that is.
The Riverdale show.
The kids watched Riverdale. That's Archie. Yeah.
He played Archie.
Okay. Well, he can't have red hair in this.
No, but I've seen him in other things where he dyes his hair, so it'll be okay.
Well, when is this due? Is this a Christmas time release?
I believe so. I'm downloading the trailer right now.
I'd love to see the trailer. But while we wait on that, I know you had some stuff you wanted to talk about. What is it about AI music you wanted to mention? Because we do AI stuff on the show a lot.
But should we talk about ourselves first?
Because we did
tell people that we'll talk about what we're going to do after the cruise today.
All right. Let's do it. We're a two-headed beast here, and to prioritize, we really
don't have
speak.
To.
No, I think we should. I think people want to know.
We can make people wait till next week.
Okay, if one person in the chat room says they want to know what our future plans are, we'll go with it. And if they don't care, we don't care. So that's fine. It's not going anywhere. We've got it done. So the Jimmy Stewart, is it just called Jimmy?
It is called Jimmy. It is, it's doing the conversion now. So it'll be ready in 20
seconds. Does it have the scene where he invents the wing sauce? Or is that a different Jimmy?
Yeah. It's also got the scene where he starts the grocery store.
I forgot.
That will be on tomorrow's bonus show.
Jungle Jimmy. Which,
which I got to say, as excited as you and I were about Jungle Jimmy, I was excited that Mike was all in as well.
He was 100% in, and it was a fascinating piece. All right, so they do want to know about some of our plans, but first we're going to look at this trailer.
They're going to have to wait because we're looking at Jimmy.
Exactly.
How does it feel to be a star, Jimmy Stewart?
It's the best feeling in the world.
Hi, Dad.
Jim, yeah. I see in the paper you won some kind of award. That's good, right?
That's real good.
They've already spotted U-boats off of New Jersey. The war's coming to us, Jim, whether we like it or not.
I'm drafted.
One snap, that letter is forgotten.
Sir, don't I have the right to serve my country just like anyone else does?
America can't afford to lose Jimmy Stewart.
Rob Riggle.
Jim, you're just not cut out for it. Make peace with the fact that you are what you are.
Something to remember us all by. Come home safe, James.
Good evening, sir. Name?
Stewart. Captain Stewart.
Attention!
I saw that in a movie. I'll be gosh darn, it really works.
I've seen your films.
Say.
I'd like to know, is the man on screen the same man here with me?
I've done that scene in so many movies, but this isn't a movie. This is my life.
Even those men behind, it's not an easy decision.
Do you think I'm a good man?
I heard about what happened.
That's a long drop, mister.
Say, ain't you Jimmy Stewart, the actor?
I used to be.
How'd you like to be him again?
That's a wonderful life. I don't think I can do it.
Who else, Jim? Who else can do that but you?
Someone once told me that being famous is like being a god. I don't want to be a god. I'd like to be able to look at myself in the mirror and see a good man looking back at me.
Jimmy! All right, so from this I can pull the fact that, A, they're just going to focus on his war hero years. And he was a war hero, make no mistake. He did come back from the war. The first movie he made after the war was It's a Wonderful Life. And he made movies during the war that, you know, were recruitment films and stuff like that.
It looks like that shot at the end of him sitting at the bar is from It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, I agree. I do think from the first syllable out of Archie's mouth in that.
That's the concern.
He is really overdoing the Jimmy Stewart voice like he's doing a Rich Little impression and not a portrayal of a person. I worked in a movie, gosh darn it. Yeah.
Will that distract for the entire movie? Because I think the movie looks good.
It does, and it's going to be a good story, but you just, and you know, he doesn't, I don't like to use a negative, double negative, he doesn't not resemble him at that age. So it's an okay piece of casting.
I don't know
if he really needs to talk like that.
And that, like, you mentioned Rob Riggle in there. Yeah. Rob Riggle is Rob Riggle in every movie he's ever been in.
And you know what? I'm okay with that. I like Rob Riggle a lot.
And I think I would have been okay with KJ playing Jimmy Stewart without the inflection.
Yeah, it's not even like a regional dialect. He's from Pennsylvania. There's not much flavor to Jimmy Stewart's voice other than the tone and some of his vowel pronunciations. I think it's going to be distracting, man.
I hope not, because it's like, yes, everyone knows that voice.
Yeah.
But they know that voice from, like, excited Jimmy Stewart.
Also, the young Jimmy Stewart before the war sounded a little bit like older Jimmy Stewart, like 1970s Jimmy Stewart.
That's true. You got to put a little...
You got to make it younger. Come on, Mary. Mary. Yeah, so I will be a deft critic of that movie, but I will see it when it comes out. And some people say biopics. I like biopics. And so I'll take a look at it anyway. All right. Our future plans.
Yes.
We actually discussed this very briefly even before Mike made the announcement because we were in on it knowing that it was coming up.
Yes. We were on it. Someone asked, how big of a heads up did Mike give you? And I said, 2 weeks. And then I went back and said, actually, I think 8 days.
Well, originally the plan was to do the announcement after Labor Day.
Yes.
The reasoning behind that is summer is over, schedules have normalized, people are back at school, at work, and that would be the time for people to really catch an announcement and let it sink in. And that idea lasted for about 36 hours.
Well, we knew the problem with this industry is people have trouble keeping secrets.
Well, not everybody. Mike does.
And Mike
he was
does.
So excited. Yes. He
Mike was
generally
so excited.
It wasn't a secret thing. It was he was excited to get the news out there. And I don't blame him at all. I think it's cool.
We talked to him out of announcing it for a week,
I think,
until it was like, all right. Because we wanted to be at least be able to set up and prepare a little bit on our end.
Exactly.
Because we have had conversations in the past knowing that one day Mike will retire.
Yeah, just fleeting. I mean, just like, you know, if this show ends, would you like to continue? And the answer was always yes. And also, as I think you mentioned on Monday's show, and we'll get all into this into the Producers Club tomorrow. Yeah. You said that when you started with us, Mike said, I think I got about 2 years in me.
Right.
And that was 2.5 years ago. So, I mean, he's sort of on his schedule. And last summer, he took a couple days off and Josh and I covered, and that's fine. That was a good experiment too. And that's what we're doing today. Yeah. So that's okay.
Yeah, and we talked this summer because it had passed 2 years, and we said, "Oh, wonder what's going on with that." Even though he has told us through over and over again how much he's enjoying doing the show,
I'll second it. I know that both he and I—it's not really appropriate for me to speak for him, but I'll say it because I know it. We had a renewed fervor and enthusiasm with the show when you arrived. You brought a great energy, and you woke up parts of the show that had gone away. So, I mean, I don't know. He would have lasted the 2 years if you hadn't been here.
Yeah, and thank you. I'm glad to hear that. And that's where we can even say our piece now that there's no ill will in the show ending.
Not at all.
Mike is old. We understand he doesn't want the commitment of every day this time be here. And
yeah,
he's
entering an era where he needs to be there for his kid.
Yeah.
You know, he'd be the first one to tell you that he was the absentee father the first time around. He doesn't want to do that again.
And now he's the stay-at-home mom.
He is the stay-at-home mom. Maybe you know what? He is such a good stay-at-home mom, he never has lost a steak knife in his life.
But it's also, he's done this forever.
Yeah.
So, like, he's an entertainer. So, yeah, I'm sure he's still going to be on YouTube, TikTok, whatever, doing. But he wants to do it at his pace.
Yeah,
he wants to talk about it at his length and no commitment of time.
And he'll be welcome on our show if he wants to come in and spout about something anytime. I mean, it'd be pleased to have him back, of course.
We will need Mike to check in once in a while because we're going to need updates on retirement and Michael and Carla and all.
I thought it was going to be like a Child Protective Services thing. We need to hear from you, Mike. We're going to have to send with someone
out
to the house.
Well, we don't want a Mitch McConnell issue.
He refuses. He refuses to do anything public.
Mike's going to be posting AI images.
He's alive and he's well and he has six fingers. We do have plans. Let me just give it a brief outline sketch and you can correct me when I get it wrong. When the Mike O'Mara show ends, Josh and I will continue a show that will be very similar in many ways, but different in ways as well. It will not be as married to radio formatics.
Just go podcast format. So we
because
have a set time, but we can adjust it.
And we don't need to cater to a radio affiliate anymore, and we can roll with it, and that's going to be great. Mike was comfortable in a radio format, and to be perfectly honest, so was I when we started, because it gives you some structure. But now we've been doing this a while, and I think we can get away without it. The show will be largely about Josh and my friendship, which has been one of the greatest things of him having here the last 2 years.
And about the same format daily.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's just going to be, I will, before we launch, have a declaration of principles of things that we plan to do on the show. But really what it boils down to is this. It's going to be, I believe, everything that most of you liked about the show that we're doing right now. And adding to that, I think we're going to do more content, a little more digestible content, and all we need from you guys is to listen. Listen to what we give you, and we'll have a great run.
And assuming we get the support, more events and gatherings and stuff like the Escape Room and King's Dominion and stuff where we want to be involved with people.
Absolutely. I think it would be I love hanging with the listeners. Even if at the Escape Room, Josh solved one of the number puzzles, but basically I just watched and it was so much fun. It was great. we want to keep the Mike O'Mara Show family together. That is that's a big deal to us, because I know from doing events that in many cases our being at the events is really just sort of incidental to the event. They're happy to see each other, and I'm okay with that. I mean, we'll still give you your swag bags and your, and we'll do the podcast and whatever, but I like to see, it's so cool when people that haven't seen each other for a year, they just hug, or there's like, oh, it's so good to see you, and you know that you're a small piece of that. That's a great feeling, and we want to keep that going.
Yeah. Kelly asked last night, the kids are begging to go to California.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any chance we can visit LA and San Francisco and also arrange it around the TMOS pool party so you and Rob can go out there? And I said, I don't know how California works. It's a big state, but we can look at it.
Yeah, that's sort of like triangulating the entire state. Although I would love to have the listeners on one of those luxury coaches doing the tour of Universal. Wouldn't that be fun to have an entire bus of all the listeners and say, that's the Psycho House? I'd love it. I think it would be so much fun. Now, your cat brings up something in the chat room that I was actually going to ask about. Is
Rob Radio.
Last week, we normally do the, and I guess this is like the 2.5 year anniversary of doing Friday Classics, which has been fun to revisit some of the older tapes of the show in many ways, because the show has changed so much, not just in the cast, but the tone. I mean, it's a different show if you listen to it from 10 years ago. So last week, I decided to do a Rob Radio in lieu of it to observe the passing of Elvis Presley. It'd been a long time since I'd talked up a stack of records, and I had a blast. And I'm just curious, and the chat room can reflect, if there's any interest, we would like to start incorporating Rob Radio into the Fridays of the Mike O'Mara Show, and then maybe carry that over into our next plan. So let us know if you're into it, or do you think it's a lazy ego trip for one of the people on this show?
And
it could be both.
I think people do enjoy Rob Radio. I saw lots of positive stuff about the Elvis Rob Radio. I will say, I'll put it out there now, because I did an AMA over on Reddit, because I was tired of seeing misinformation about the end of TMOS. So I've been answering people's questions over there, and one that keeps coming up is the years and years of TMOS content.
We
are working to make sure that is still always available to you.
Oh, that's a shame, Josh. I didn't tell you last night I erased it all. I needed room on my hard drive.
Oh, now we got to pay one of those shady recovery companies.
Yeah, exactly. Hi, is this Shady Recovery Company? Yes, we need your help.
No,
so yes,
so we're gonna everything we've got, we are going to put it out there and make sure that it's available for years to come.
The new show will be available on YouTube Live. We're absolutely about streaming it. We don't know if it is going to continue to be an 80-minute show or a one-hour show, but then because we're going to be loosey-goosey on the format, and it could vary from day to day.
Right. I say, it's going to be 60 minutes to start, and then we'll go over sometimes, but now we've already gone 57 minutes and we barely covered anything. So it's
I disagree. What about my steak knife? My steak knife was huge. This was big news. So yeah, it will continue to be on all the formats. I think we're going to also start looking into using TikTok in a wiser way, because I love music so much. Rob Radio.
And that's part of our thoughts with Rob Radio and stuff, is let's make sure we get all the music rights and everything straightened out properly in this new digital world.
One of the first things I want to do when we get this worked out is a jukebox show where I will actually mic my jukebox and put a camera on my jukebox so you can see the records change and we can listen to music together. Because as I say, music is useless if it isn't shared.
Now Jeff is asking about a consistent start time. Generally, we haven't figured out
as consistent as we are now.
Well, hopefully a little bit more consistent, because it'll just be around two of our schedules.
I think that we have suggested, and both of us don't hate the idea of a 9 a.m. start.
Yeah, I like 9 a.m. I noticed that our numbers go up with later times in the day. But 9 a.m., I do like 9 a.m.
So it gives us morning drive on the West Coast. So that's, I mean, that's 6 a.m. Because if we do 8, I mean, 5 a.m. is still a lot to ask, I think. But 8 is not so bad. If you get up at 6, it's not so bad. So
we'll now, see. I will say, it is nice to have this runway with Mike, where he's given us time to really nail things down and figure things out. And even more importantly, he's now given us Thursdays to kind of soft launch our show.
Exactly.
So we're going to be able to kind of transition that Thursdays will be our new show.
Yeah. And, you know, we get to know you guys and you get to know us and you get a flavor for it. Do you want to reveal the name of the show? I think the naming of the show is one of the easiest things we got to do.
You don't want to just make him wait till next week.
We could wait. It's fine.
No. Let's tell people.
It came to us so easy. It was so great.
All right. And like anything, I had to then take our name and run it through AI.
That's right. And then I had to take the together. I took the individual track and turned it into sort of a stager, almost a radio jingle.
Rob Spiewak. Josh Sucker.
The name of the show is Still Talkin'.
Yes.
T-A-L-K-I-N apostrophe. Talkin'. Still Talkin'.
Should we play the video?
I want to hear this one more time first. All
right. Rob Spiewak. Josh Sucker. Still Talkin'.
You know, I could use that on Rob Radio with my reverb. Being a big time disc jockey.
Still Talkin' is a fun name because it's exactly what we're doing. We're not gonna stop. We want to keep going.
Every good ingredient we're taking with us,
yes.
And that's a promise. So Josh and I love talking to each other. We love that you're a part of it. The very fact that you're hanging out in the chat room today makes us very happy. Do you want to play the video?
Yeah, let's play the video because it'll help people understand the spelling.
Okay, thank
still
you.
Still Talkin'.
Yeah, spelling.
Still Talkin'.
Also, check out your AI beard.
Showing up to Still Talkin'. Rob Spiewak and Josh Schroeker. Still talking. We ain't ready to go. The ship has sailed, but look what we found. A couple of friends still hanging around.
I'd like a picture of us waving the mic on the boat.
Yeah, like he stayed on the boat.
Yes.
Or we missed it. I love that so bad. That is great. And someone in the chat room, Jeff Ward, said, no Dude Walker to be your Billy Big Voice. To be perfectly honest, spoke to Dude right after the announcement broke, wanted him to hear it from me. And the very fact is, I said, Dude, you've been a part of the fabric of the show for as long as I can think of. We'd love for you to continue to be the official voice. And we're not sure of the sound of the show yet, but if we need an announcer, and we will, we'd love for it to be you. And he said he'd be pleased to do it. So yes, Dude Walker, for the 30th consecutive year, the nicest man in broadcasting. He will be helping us out on Still Talkin'. So we're very, very excited moving forward.
I realize, Rob, we haven't even told Mike the name of our new show yet.
Oh, that's right. I'm sure. Is he in the chat room?
We didn't want him to leak it.
Is he in the chat room? He might know now.
Of course he is. Now he knows.
Now he knows.
And we're going to start it with Thursday shows right here.
Right.
And then I think in September, we were planning October, but I think we'll bump it up to September now. We are going to unveil like a founding members where we will start doing the bonus show early for you guys. So while you still have the Mike O'Mara show, you'll also have a Still Talkin' premium show once a week.
A soft launch. And understand as big of a part of the show as the listeners, you guys are going to be. You're going to be a big part of the launch too. Because just to pull back the curtain a little bit, we're not doing this as a hobby. We're continuing to do this as a business. And we're gonna hold up our end of the bargain. We're going to be happy and we're going to make you laugh. And we're going to do what we do. But we need you to participate, even if it's something as minuscule as clicking like and listening every day. I mean, that's we'll do it as long as you're here. That's the thing.
Yeah, and we can share. The website is stilltalkinpodcast.com.
And it's very and if you go there, sometimes you'll burp. But it's very vague. I love the fact that when you got the name of the website and you bought it, you had to block it with something. So you put up all the announcement about the podcast with exactly no detail.
Yes. If you go there now, you will see host one and host two own this run this show.
And
you
I was trying to think out which one I was.
You will, I believe you are host one.
Okay. Because as it should be, you know, by age. Right.
And you'll see there's a coming soon post, mm-hmm. which is an AI song, which has no mention of Rob and Josh.
Right.
Because we couldn't let this leak out. We've been preparing.
You have.
But we couldn't let you know.
Now, does the song that you're going to get, the vague song on the website, does it still have that gospel soul feel?
Yes. If you remember, the AI music has been fun because I would make this first one, which doesn't mention Rob and Josh.
Right.
And I would send it to Rob, and the immediate text back would be, this explains our show so much.
Yeah, it does.
And
it does.
It really does set our kind of path for where we want.
And then, so, you know, we will continue certain things that will be, you know, attach the show. Rob Radio, I think, is going to be a part of our presentation. We will still do Hicks Nicks, which we love. We might even include Hicks Nicks as one of the occasional shows. Yes. Who knows? Also,
we're still figuring out how to blend those two, but we'll make it work.
And then, you know, the bits that we've done in the past, like I continue to monitor the neighborhood of Leesburg very closely with the spy reports. We can still do the vinyl countdown.
And all we've both been working on our celebrity voices.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I did a little Jimmy Stewart earlier. I don't want to spoil anything.
That part will be going away. And that's the thing is, like, we are excited to launch this, but we also know, like, we're going to miss Mike every day.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. He's a good guy. And it also, when you say he is the straw that stirs the drink, that's really understating it, because his mood and his fancy and his whimsy drives the show. And that's one of the. I love being a reactor to Mike because he can be so unpredictable, but I also like, you know, hosting. And so, I mean, it'll be a different skill set, and I'm genuinely excited, and I'm pleased that Josh and I are doing this and that Josh had the gumption and everything to actually do production in advance, because who doesn't like production?
Rob Spiewak. Josh Sucker.
Still talking.
That, I love it.
I do too. And the website is stilltalkinpodcast.com. Okay, check it out. Tune it in and look at all the
bait. Powered by Pod Street.
Yes, one of our biggest clients. Right. Oh, and before we break, talking about Pod Street, another one of our A-list clients, the Tony Perkins, Gary Stein show. You got to be kidding me. Amazing news for them. You know, Tony for years was the weatherman on Good Morning America, and that's where he met Gary, because he was his producer for the weather segments. And they're on episode 22, I believe, of their new podcast, and they've let me come along to produce it. We're having a blast. It is so much fun. You got to be, or I think it is
YGKBM.com.
No. YGBKM.
Yes, you got to be kidding me.
You got to be kidding
me. The first letter, so you take the initials, .com.
Yeah, we're not. And by the way, that's a horrible guess on Wordle. But you got to be kidding me. The initials, .com. All of that said, they've been invited back to do a piece on Good Morning America, which is amazing.
That's so excited for them.
And it'll talk about their friendship, the fact that they met on Good Morning America, the fact that they suffered prostate cancer simultaneously together. And that was because I think it's Prostate Cancer Month. And also, it's going to talk about the podcast. And after they did the interviews this week, the producers actually wanted more clips and more pictures from the podcast, which made me thrilled, meaning that they're going to focus on it. But the show is called GMA3, which is the third hour of Good Morning America. Check your local listings on Friday in the DC market, and I think in the Florida markets, it airs at 1 o'clock Eastern.
Yes, Eastern.
So, yeah, check your local listings, but it's called GMA3.
And we'll share it online as well.
Absolutely. And it truly is a great show. Give it a listen and give it a like. Follow them. They are good guys, and we love them very much.
Yeah. I will say, finally, on our announcement, I see some questions in here. If you're listening, not live, and you have questions, there is an AMA on Reddit that I'm trying to address people with questions about the future and the end of the show and everything. I do want to say, Mike O'Mara Show bonus show members.
Yeah.
They're the lifeblood of the show, and I hope you all come over to Still Talking.
We'd love to have you.
I want to let you know that I've already made arrangements so that your bonus show subscriptions, you won't be charged for more than you get.
Perfect. It'll so they don't. No one needs to worry about it. No one has to cancel anything.
You're not going to get screwed. If your yearly ends in March, you will get a refund.
Great. And a Nike t-shirt.
If your yearly ends on January 1st, you're going to get an extension till the end of the show to make sure that you hear everything.
I'm expecting you to go, but wait, there's more. There's so many good things you're saying.
Yeah, but wait, there's all right, here. I've got one. But wait, there's more. You can become a founding member of Still Talking in like the next month or so, and you get a t-shirt and a pin for being a founding member.
And also the honor of being a founding member, because once you're a founding member, you're like Thomas Jefferson. Once a founding father, always a founding father.
And I have to think it through and figure out how we could do it, but maybe we will do something for TMOS bonus show members to give them a deal to come on over and support us.
Just stay tuned. Many details ago. As I said, we've only really been able to plan this for 6 or 7 days. So the fact that we have a jingle and a song, I think that's
huge.
We
have a jingle, a song, and a website and a plan.
So exactly. Well,
look for us.
And sort of a plan. We have a very loosely structured plan.
But trying to bump it up to now launch in September instead of October. And either way, we're going to be with you here till the end of TMOS.
And I can't wait. I can't wait for both shows. I can't wait for the sweet era when both shows coexist and we're spending twice as much time with people.
No. It's not going to be twice as much time. We're not going to... When Still Talking launches, we're doing one Still Talking a week.
No, but I'm talking about with the Mike O'Mara show. I mean, when we start putting out extra stuff, we're going to live in your ears. We're going to live in your ears. But I will thank you in advance for your support, folks. You are the best listener base. I've been in this business a long time. Hate saying that, but it's true. And this is the best hunk of listeners we've ever had. Just really top notch, and the quality and the loyalty it means a lot. So thank you. Stay tuned. It is called Still Talking.
Rob Spuak.
Josh Sucker.
Still Talking.
These pretzels are making me thirsty.
So thirsty that we're going to take a break. We'll do a commercial here. And when we come back, Josh really is going to talk about music. I said we were, and then we changed it.
Yeah, so we'll talk AI music.
We'll talk AI music after this on the Mike O'Mara Show.
If you love this show and you want an incredibly easy way to support us without spending an extra dime, we got you covered. Before you do your Amazon shopping, and let's be honest, who isn't buying something on Amazon? Start through our Amazon link. That's it. Same prices, same Prime, same late night impulse purchases. The only difference? Amazon kicks a little something back to help support this podcast. Anything you require, from the mundane to the super sexy. We're not judging. Just click our Amazon link first and shop like you normally do. You'll find the link right on our website, tmospodcast.com. You can also access it with our brand new app right from your telephone. Ring a ding ding. It takes 2 seconds, costs you absolutely nothing extra, and genuinely helps keep the show rolling. So before you Amazon, think of us. Click the link, shop away, and thank you for keeping the microphones on. Next time you Amazon, start at tmospodcast.com or with the new TMOS app. Shop, support, repeat, and we thank you.
How do you feel about people that use Amazon as a verb? When you Amazon, the next time you Amazon, I got to Amazon that.
Unfortunately, it's a verb.
Yeah. All right.
It's accepted.
Yeah, I usually say I shop online on the computer machine.
Have you heard of the band Velvet
Underground?
Oh, I lost it. Velvet Underground? No.
Yeah, of course.
Velvet Sundown.
No, I've not heard of Velvet Sundown. No.
Velvet Sundown had 1.4 million monthly Spotify listens by the end of 2025.
Normally, when you start a story like that, you're about to do a "but wait, there's more" with something that's going to make me very sad. So go ahead.
They are completely AI.
See, boo. They don't exist. Boo. You can't see them in tour.
And there's more and more people doing this. I've attempted it. I haven't uploaded the songs to Spotify, but I do. I have about 8 songs on my laptop that I made where I was like,
Do you sing on them?
No, I do not sing.
I've never heard you sing. I bet you sing. Yeah, okay.
You never will hear me sing.
Maybe
if you go to church with me one Sunday.
No, I think the reason you got into running church audio is so you didn't have to sing.
Oh yeah,
it got you out of it.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so you don't sing. Do you? What do you do that makes you? Here's a bad pun. What do you do that makes you instrumental in the production of this AI music?
Not a whole lot. I write the lyrics.
Okay. You literally write them.
I write the lyrics, and I lean towards the style that I want it to go.
Okay.
And then I tweak
sort of
a
country thrash Zydeco mix. What is it?
No, I'm like everyone else. When you hit the age 20, 21, that's the music you listen to for the rest of your life.
So true. So
for me, it's a pop. It's a pop punk style.
Mm-hmm. And music. For me, it's Glenn Miller.
But it's not. But this isn't about me. This is, point is, everyone's making AI music. We just had an AI song about our new show,
right? Which I thought was fantastic.
It has gotten to the point that so many people are being successful. There was an article on one of my Christian magazines about how the top Christian song of the past 2 months has been an AI artist, and no one knew.
Now, how hot right now? I know it did have a surge in, like, I guess the late 80s, early 90s of Christian rock. I know they have their own chart and Billboard. How is it doing right now?
It was the hottest in the 90s.
Okay.
And I think it's kind of gone away. There is a rebound now with more worship style music.
Was it crippled when Amy Grant left and began to sing satanic top 40 music?
No. No, the lines blurred when you had bands like Sixpence, None the Richer, put out that Kiss Me song. And you had the lead singer of one band started his own solo project, which is Dashboard Confessional, and had a big song in Spider-Man. So the hit to the Christian industry happened when there was crossover appeal.
I still blame Amy Grant. I don't like her. I think she's overrated. But you can blame Dashboard Confessional. I will always blame Amy Grant.
Oh, sure. I'm sure there's a little of all that. But I will say, if you want to make it as a band, clean up your lyrics. You don't even have to say you're Christian, but just go clean and advertise to churches, because churches have money for youth group events and they need entertainment.
It's kind of like the people that
pretend,
like,
pretend.
Well, you don't have to lie. You just have to present that way.
There are many successful bands that have been classified in the Christian music industry where one of the members is a Christian and the rest are musicians.
That's all you need, right?
And that's
to get past the test? Yeah.
That's all you need to pass the test.
It sounds to me like when comedians get to a medium level, like they're not quite at the big theater level, like they could do their own show, they tour colleges.
It's the same idea.
Colleges have a lot of money to make sure there's something going on in the student union.
Right.
And so there you do it. But that's one of the conversations I actually had with Pete Holmes when we were waiting around during our big time Hollywood shoot. But he was, you know, a very friendly guy and a nice guy. And he talked about his years of touring colleges, because that was a plot point in our episode. He said the money was sensational.
Yes.
A lot of times the audience didn't care, but if you need money, that's the way to go.
And I will say, if you like KJ Apa, as we mentioned before, he even has a movie where he performs as a Christian musician called Jeremy Camp in a biopic of that guy.
Wow.
So,
and is Jimmy Stewart in that?
Jimmy Stewart is not. But
I want to be in a praise band.
The problem with you and I together is we can easily go down the wrong path. And the whole reason I'm here is AI music. Because Spotify made an announcement.
Okay, what did Spotify say?
They are now putting a tag on music that labels it as an AI persona. Now, they don't have anything to track and say, hey, this is AI. Here's the signatures. We know it's AI.
Right.
As a band gets more attention or an artist gets more attention, they are doing the research as they see the charts move up, but doing the research just to go online and see, is this a real person? Is this a real band? Or is it AI? And when they figure out or believe that you are AI, they will tag you as AI persona unless you can prove that you are a real band.
This is a flawed system. So let's say you put together, what's the name of one of your unreleased tracks? Do you have names for them?
Yes, but I don't know off the top of my head.
Let's just say it's called what?
I made one for the middle school camp that was called Church Van Kids.
Okay.
And it went over really well at camp.
Very good. So let's say we take Church Van Kids and we put it into a multi-track recorder like Adobe Audition or Pro Tools, and then we open up a track and I sing on it. I'm not trying to sell myself as a singer. I'm no great singer.
Yes.
But what if I was doing the lead singer and then you padded it out with, you know, AI backup singers and all that stuff? Is that an AI record
because it has
a human voice on it?
That is not an AI record.
Okay, so that's what the people need to do to beat this system.
Well, and that's the secret is that's what all the bands are already doing.
Okay, all right.
Whatever, with Pro Tools and all, if they're not lining things up perfect with AI, there's a human going in there and making sure every beat is tight, everything matches. Yeah. If you have a musician with a human behind it and they're not flagging you, as long as you have some type of representation where you could go out and perform this live. So if you have AI music and a human vocalist, you can still perform it live.
Yeah, at a karaoke bar, because that's all you'd need is one mic with reverb and someone to play the backing track. That's it.
Yeah, but you could but it proves that if you're big enough, you could hire a band that could go do this with you.
Now, this makes me think back over top 40 history. I guess that they had similar issues, although not as much because it was not AI. They didn't have the tech then. But in the mid-60s, the Archies, who had the hit song Sugar Sugar, but it was all done by studio musicians and it was performed on a cartoon.
Right.
So there was no real band. Fast forward to, I guess, the mid-90s, the band The Gorillaz. Do you remember them?
Yes, but that was a real band. Was it just one guy?
I think it was a guy with a gorilla cartoon.
Well, was a gorilla cartoon, but they tour. The Gorillaz tour, so I know there's a full band now.
And I'm not going to see that band. What if it's real gorillas? It would be really dangerous.
It would be dangerous, but very entertaining.
It would. Well, yeah, I'd have to be behind glass, I suppose. But yeah, well, so watch out for AI. Let's get together. Let's put my voice on these songs.
If it's a good song, do you care that it's an AI voice versus a human voice?
If it's a good song, I don't. I mean, pop music by definition is popular music. And if it's good and it's popular, you're going to hear it. And I've heard so many songs through the years that are barely a human band, you know?
Right.
So it's just the next step. Again, I just don't want it to replace all creativity. That's the only thing that troubles me.
And
I don't want to hit Control L to get an album. That's
right.
It.
And yeah. I don't hate these people creating AI music because they are creative.
Yeah.
It is not. I know that you can't just tell AI, do this, and then it makes a good song. To make a good, you can make songs that aren't that great, but to make a good song, you do have to take a lot of work. And I even remember, I was even showing you yesterday how in Suno, you can download all the individual tracks.
That when I was playing, I was up at
5:30
this morning playing with them. It was so much fun to be able to do that. And also, I don't like to take money out of the pockets of musicians, but what would it cost to get together the size of band it would require to duplicate the AI song that you made for Still Talking? I mean, we're talking backup singers and a full band and horns and everything. It's prohibitive.
But what it does is it allows us to be creative. And then if it takes off, we can hire a band that can perform it because it's still, you're able to play it.
And we will hire the band. It's Jim Amato and his Swinging Gorillaz. That's the name of the band we're going to hire.
Thought we were going to get crap.
Both great. Well, yeah, I mean, he's got time. He does. Right. Can we go with just two commercial breaks today?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, because I have some, let's do this.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry time.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Last button on the AI music.
Yeah.
Is I was working on that Still Talking video last night, and Owen came out and heard it, and he's like, this is like old man music or something.
Well.
He called it something like that. Later that night, I caught him singing the song because it's catchy.
It is catchy, and that's what pop music is about.
Yes.
When you first sent me the rough cut of it, all I said was, love the feel of it, too country, not enough soul.
Yes.
And because it was really walking the line right there. And then you finagled it in like 2.5 minutes. You sent me another version that is pretty much what we played today. And I said, if that's not it, that's awfully close to it. And then I was envisioning like a little music bed and putting dude's voice on top of it. It's just crazy.
Yeah. The original thing I sent you was like 4 minutes long.
It was the entire drive to a place. Yeah, it was.
It took some work to get it down.
Well, I mean, like when you built the app with AI, you have to teach it how to do it. And then you get going.
It's a tool.
All right, back
but
to Jerry.
I want
to
see some video.
Jerry time.
You want to see some video, you say?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Beautiful, and beautiful video will not really be part of Still Talking.
Well, video
in the future
will, though.
As a segment.
Right.
We will occasionally go to video like we did with the Jimmy trailer.
Exactly.
It's something we want to talk about.
If it's something pressing, we'll go with that. And it might just be me complaining about steak knives. I think that what's great is we've gone an hour 24 without a mention of hot dogs. Josh, good job. We're coming a long way as broadcasters.
Now I know what I'm having for lunch.
Medical, I got to go to Costco today to get salad stuff. So, yeah, we will have a hot dog long-distance dedication. A medical miracle, Josh. Remember on yesterday's program, the manager of the steak and egg restaurant?
Yes.
And you remember it's
quite
in
the hand.
Yeah, Sepulpa, Oklahoma. He posted a new video. Let's take a look.
We're open at Steak and Eggs all day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
I can't see the video.
Get the prices. Get you some.
99 cent cinnamon rolls there, okay. And his hand is still looking like
Can
it looks.
Play it again. I couldn't see the video for some reason on my
okay.
end.
We're open at Steak
Better?
And Eggs
yes.
all day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
No, don't tap with your fingers.
I know.
Get you some.
I think he could be down to three fingers.
Yesterday he was doing the gun fingers and pointing to everything.
I know. And
I
yesterday
don't like
also
the
he covered some of them were better where he would like cover his claw, his club hand with a tray or something. But then he got very proud of it. Well,
has
he
addressed it yet?
Because no, but I want to show you the most recent post, Josh.
All right.
It's a medical miracle.
Thanks people tonight for our special is Surf and Turf. We've got a juicy 10-ounce New York strip with three breaded shrimp, but you can also get it grilled. Your choice of potato, veggie, and garlic bread or Texas toast, only for $19.99.
You heard that. Only at Steak and Eggs, 1112 East Ave, Sepulpa, Oklahoma.
It looks like he has all his fingers.
No. I think there's some. Can I see him with the cast again?
Oh, yeah. You want to go this one?
Go back. He gave it away. Stop it.
Okay.
The video is mirrored. He's
oh,
keeping
no.
the cast out of camera. Go back.
Oh, yes.
Go back and pay attention to the right edge of the video.
Tonight for our special is Surf and Turf. We've got a juicy 10-ounce New York strip with three breaded shrimp, but you can also get it grilled. Your choice of potato, veggie, and garlic bread or Texas toast.
At the very end,
you
can see the cast sneak in.
You heard that. Only at Steak and Eggs, 1112 East Ave, Sepulpa, Oklahoma.
Come enjoy it.
You're
See,
right.
There it is.
Oh
there
my
it
God,
is.
You're Columbo. That's fantastic. And I should have realized it was mirrored video because of his watch.
That's what got my attention was the watch because I was about to say, oh, he can wear a watch now. And I realized something's not right here.
I am such a rube, but I am glad to know they have ceiling fans and a beautiful drop ceiling.
Well, I was watching it and I was like, why does he have this other girl in there? And I was
that asks more questions than it answers, by
the way. Well, no, it's because he's trying to hide the hand, but they didn't crop it quite tight enough that it snuck in at the end.
Do you think that the girl is there against her will? I do.
No. I think she's the one that went to him and said, hey, you're going viral for your hand because people think it's disgusting. We're getting attention, but we need to not show your hand. Now...
But he has Smart to be move. In the shot, though. That's the right. thing that's funny. There's and no need for him to be there.
Well, and what's funny is they didn't have to flip the video, but they wanted to make it look like the hand was healed. They could have just put him on the other side with the right hand out of the frame.
You're right. And
they
you know
flipped
what?
It to try to fool us.
What they should have done is they could have just put him on the other side, put the watch on there, moved his shirt pocket to the other side.
Yeah.
And then flip the video and then you're fine. Well, my God, if you go to Steak and Eggs, just wish this man well. And as Rolando
and
says,
say, oh, now you broke the other hand.
Rolando says, get the chicken fingers.
That are hand-breaded.
They are hand-breaded indeed. Thank you, Jarheads, for sticking with us today. Hope you enjoyed the program. Hope you enjoyed the plans coming up for Still Talking.
Yes.
I hope you all will be a part of that. And we've got a great bonus show for you tomorrow. It'll drop at midnight. Make sure you
Jungle
check
Gym.
It out. And Producers Club tomorrow at 11, right?
Yes.
Are you bringing orange wedges?
Not this time.
But damn
it. But Producers Club, we'll get into the week and Mike's announcement and more.
I think if you wanted to become the Producers Club member, this would be the week to do it. because there's plenty to talk about. So check it out. Mike O'Mara back on Monday, live in studio. Josh, I love it. Thank you. Such a pleasure. Hey,
sounds good.
All right.
Talk then.
We'll talk later, guys. Folks, have a great day.
Thanks for listening to another episode of The Mike O'Mara Show. Please remember to click the Amazon link at tmospodcast.com before you shop online. It means a lot and makes the world a better place.
I forgot. I love you, Pop.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Rob Spuak.
Josh Sucker.